Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. You never saw a room full of men turn beet red faster than Stephanie telling us she had to go to breastfeed. What? Grow up. We need to all grow up in here. A bunch of children in here. There was no women in here with us, and none of us knew what to say because Stephanie's a good mother. Come on, fellas, grow up.
I hate to jump in, but I feel like you're being a little bit offensive. I think the American Academy of So-Called Pediatricians has said you have to call it chest feeding, not breastfeeding.
Are you kidding? Is that real?
Oh, yeah, that's real.
I'm never saying that. Saying that for a joke. That's just weird. Why we're pro-life is the name of a new booklet from Catholic Answers Live. The apostolate is on track to give out a million of these for free because the Roe versus Wade decision was overturned, and we all kind of look around at each other and go, well, now we can get started. I mean, there was kind of this one focus for the pro-life movement for so long, because until it got overturned, there weren't much we could do. But now we can make a real difference, and we're trying with why we're pro-life. If you'd like to call and get in on the conversation about why we're pro-life, 888-318-7884. If you want to get some copies of the book for your pro-life ministry, whywearepro-life.com is the website, whywearepro-life.com. In the studio here with us, Shane, who designed it, David, who raised a lot of the money to pay for it, Trent Horn, who wrote it, and John Sorensen, who wants to take all the credit for it. Hi, John.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding.
It's all me, dude.
John is our chief operating officer. Is that right? COO? Is that what I say?
The coup,
chief,
man. Yep.
You're the coup, the chief operating officer. And let me just say this. We got a lot to do around here. We're trying to defend the Catholic faith day in and day out. We do it on the internet. We do it on all these apps, and we do it on the radio, TV, anywhere people will have us. Why are we getting into the pro-life business? What are we doing here?
Because it's wrong to kill babies.
Okay, thank you for coming, John. And that will bring the show to an end.
I'll tell you something, man. Yeah? I was born in 1973 to teenage parents. And that's the year Roe versus Wade was passed.
Right.
And so this issue is very close to my heart. Certainly my parents could have made that choice to abort me, and they didn't. And I'm here to be a pain in the butt to all you guys.
And you're very good at it, and we're glad you're here. And see, I'm 1964, so there was nothing they could do about it. Not that they wanted to, but but I do realize that's a real thing for every child born after 1972. It could have been you.
Exactly. So I mean, but we also recognize. I think my wife, God bless her, before when we were dating, she schooled me on the abortion issue.
Did she really?
I was not a practicing Catholic. I considered myself an atheist. And we went on a date, and she just straight, point blank asked me, what do you think about abortion? And we started talking.
Wait, this first date?
Yeah, first date.
Amy is hardcore.
My wife is the hardest core, man.
She's like Wonder Woman.
She doesn't play around. Yeah, so she started up a discussion about that. To her credit, she was very I don't want to say easygoing, but calm when we talked about it.
Yeah.
She was very calm. She didn't, she didn't lose her temper and I made the old, I wouldn't do it, but, I'm not going to tell someone else not to do it. And she said, well, either it's wrong or it's not. And I went home, after that date, and my roommate was watching Unforgiven. The Clint Eastwood movie, and there's the scene where
they shoot the guy.
The kid shoots the guy, and then he's
awful.
He's in the field, and he's getting really nervous about that he just shot somebody.
He's stressing out.
He never thought about the implications of that. And Clint Eastwood says to him, "It's a heck of a thing, killing a man. You take away all he's got and all he's ever gonna have." Yeah. And as an atheist, I started thinking about that, and I was like, "Wow, that person's one chance at life," and that started to maybe turn my, my opinion started to change after that. And so it's just been the fact that we're doing this right now is a project that, if I have to stay up all night to get copies of these things and every night to get copies of these in people's hands, as many as possible, I'll do it.
And you can be part of that. If you'd like, go to whywearepro-life.com and get your copies. We're serious about giving them out. We're not selling them to people. We're giving them out. And the more, the merrier. We do need your David, do we still need some financial help to do in order to do this? We're always happy to take it. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, if people donate to this, that's just more copies that go out. We can get out there. You know.
Yeah. So that impresses me that the chief operating officer of Catholic Answers is an atheist. So,
I was for a long time.
You've given up atheism.
I'm not an atheist anymore. Oh, okay.
No. I knew that, John. I'm just kidding you.
You have to believe in God to work here. I think this one.
That's one of the basics. I actually think there's a document that we signed. It says several things like that.
Yeah. You have to believe in God, and you have to sign your life away to Catholic Answers.
I didn't recall signing my life away, but okay, thanks for the info. Now you tell me. A million of these is kind of a big deal, though.
Yeah.
Can we do it?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah. And just keep going. I mean, it'd be great if we could do a million in the next year.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. But it'll get to a million. I mean, even Pillar got to a million.
Yeah.
That's like right. Several million now.
Right.
A Pillar of Fire, sorry. The booklet that Catholic Answers is
most
famous
for. Using the in-house shorthand.
Yeah, I know, right?
Pillar of Fire, which defends the Catholic faith. What do you think of Trent's work?
Columna de Fuego.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds cooler
Columna
that way.
Columna de Fuego. What do you think of Trent's work?
I think Trent is one of the best on this subject.
One of the two best.
I mean, yeah, Stephanie Gray Connor is really good, too.
Number one and two.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was great to have them both on an hour, but I think Trent does excellent work on his. He's just really good. Well, he's listening now, so
yeah, he is.
I don't want to puff his head up too much, but he's just really good at creating a.
Don't worry, John. Laura will deflate it shortly after the episode.
Well, he's in this book especially. He did a really good job of writing it in a way that's not going to back people into a corner. And because, you know, as soon as you do that, people stop listening to you could drop truth bombs on somebody. And as soon as they get defensive and back into a corner, they don't really hear anything that you have to say after that. They're mostly thinking about what is my next response going to be rather than. And I feel like this book is very approachable. And I think it'll be helpful to a lot of pro-lifers who maybe they know all the arguments, but they need a little bit of help formulating a full, well-rounded argument in their own minds, and this can help to do that.
If you want to get in on the conversation, we're talking about the new book, Why We're Pro-Life, and we're also talking about the fact that we are pro-life. And if you'd like to challenge that, or if you have a point you'd like to make or a question you'd like to ask about how to communicate our pro-life views, you're welcome. 888-318-7884. Trent Horn, our guest this hour, and just for this segment, our COO, John Sorensen, here with us. So if you want to ask John a question, you can do that too. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. So we're in the pro-life pamphlet business now. And
amen, brother.
But here's the problem that we get. Yeah, well, that's a Catholic thing. Why don't you just, you Catholics, just, you know, don't get an abortion then? You know what I'm saying?
Actually all of our apologists make the case for life without ever, having to resort to where is that in the Bible?
Yeah.
You don't even have to be, I mean, I know people who are libertarians, there's a group called Libertarians for Life. I don't know if they're still around, but they were pretty active, I think, in the early 2000s.
Yeah, they're still around.
They're still around, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't have to be. There are atheists. I know atheists who are pro-life. So, you don't necessarily have to be a religious person to know that ending the life of the unborn is.
I think that's so important because like Trent always says, the only people that want to talk about religion in this debate are the pro-choice people.
Exactly.
Pro-life people are like, well, let's talk about the science.
Right.
Let's talk about actually when people discovered, the fallopian tubes and the doctors that discovered sperm and egg and how all that works together. And they don't want to talk about any of that.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see that Lila Rose on Dr. Phil?
I didn't see it. No, I heard about it, though.
Man.
I don't really catch Dr. Phil most days. So
I went to see a live taping of that guy's show, man. I mean, I had to wear double masks and everything.
But he doesn't get it.
No, and he's a doctor. He's got a doctor in front of his name. I mean, I don't know if he's a legit doctor, but he's a TV doctor.
I think he's a feelings doctor.
He's
a doctor of feelings. Yeah.
He is a psychiatrist.
Oh, psychiatrist.
Who has not renewed his license to practice, I think, since
2006. But still, he got basic anatomy. He should know how that. But the thing, you know what? One thing I have noticed.
How's that working out for you?
The number is 888-318-7884. I was just corrected by Peggy. who said, "Hold up the book so that people can see it." Was that what Peggy came in to say? Yeah, I just got that from her facial expression. But I should hold up the book. Why we're pro-life. We do have to take our first break. Your calls are welcome. We're talking about why we're pro-life with Trent Horn and this segment with John Sorensen. 888-318-7884. John, thank you for all the great work that you do. I'm so happy that you're here as a leader, and the stuff we say about you behind your back, don't even worry about that.
I won't.
Don't even think about that.
I'll sleep good tonight.
I bet you will.
You guys are the best.
No, you're the best, John. Get back out into the country.
All right,
where
thanks.
You live. All right, we'll take a quick break. Right back with more on why we're pro-life on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, because I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics. Tonight, 8 Eastern on EWTN Television and Radio.
I'm back now because I was watching Too Far with Laura Horn on YouTube, and I forgot that I was supposed to. I guess Trent's wife has a new YouTube thing. Trent is out of business. If Laura gets on there, people are going to like Laura so much better than him. We're back now.
There are multiple comments saying that Laura is funnier than me. And so that's not that high of a bar to cross.
I was going to say,
cross.
Give her a little bit of a challenge.
I'm a bit dour sometimes.
Who did I hear say the other day? Somebody was on with us and said, Laura is the funniest person. Who was it? I can't remember. Was it Matt Fradd? I can't remember who said Laura. I think it might have been Matt Fradd, actually.
Matt has said that before on his own podcast, so... And he certainly has colorful views about who is and isn't funny, but he definitely thinks Laura is. And
well,
so
I'm
Laura
not...
might be like, "Don't tell people that. You're going to get the expectations too high." But yeah, her channel is Too Far with Laura Horn.
No,
and she's just making.
We're not
some
promoting
funny
Too Far with Laura Horn on this program. Too Far with Laura Horn can promote itself. We are not going to get on the air and keep repeating Too Far with Laura Horn on YouTube so that Too Far with Laura Horn gets promoted.
We'll stop it right now.
888-318-7884, our number here. WhyWeAreProLife.com is the website to go to if you'd like to get the new booklet from Catholic Answers Live written by our guest Trent Horn, Why We're Pro-Life. He's already got like millions of copies of his books in print, and now he's just going to add another million to them. 888-318-7884. I'm pretty sure the phones are working, and we're not going to hang up on everybody this time like we did last hour. 888-318-7884. So, John was talking about Amy and her influence on him. What about you and Laura? Laura's a pro-life person, and what's her influence been on you as far as the pro-life movement goes?
Oh, well, one of the things when I met, Laura and I first met at a pro-life outreach event at a university campus. And that's when I was first very interested. It was very interesting in getting to know her because she wasn't just pro-life in word. She was pro-life in action. And she was young is all I will say there that wasn't that bad, actually. I met her there. I just graduated college. I think she was almost out of high school, but went with her sister to fly to the college I was at, Arizona State University, to do a pro-life outreach with the Justice for All group.
She's tough.
Oh, yeah.
She
had this professor on the ropes. He was funny. He said to her, "You can't just ask people a bunch of questions and expect them to give you an answer." And she said, "Why?" But she did great. And then we reconnected about 2 years later doing pro-life work together. In the Midwest for that same group. It was in Kansas, actually. And yeah, I mean, people who will go onto a university campus with pictures of aborted children and talk to people about it, they're a little weird.
Yeah.
I'm weird. I'm kind of a weird guy. So it's like you're naturally attracted to, oh, you have the same
weirdness
that I do.
That's cool.
Yes, I remember once, I'll share this with our listeners. I once in college, I went out on a date with a young lady who was not Laura, and I quickly realized that fact. This is before, obviously, Laura and I were together. And I asked her, and she said, oh, are you pro-life? Like, yeah, I do pro-life work. And she said, oh, that's great. The only people I can't stand are those people with the big abortion pictures that go out. Like, those people are nuts. And I'm like looking at my watch, like, it's been 2 minutes. How much longer does this dinner have
date's
to go
over.
On? Yeah. But Laura is just like, no. And she takes our children to prayed abortion facilities, and she gave talks before I even met her. And we then gave talks together after that. So it's been really great to have a coworker in the vineyard with her to do that. And now she's having fun on YouTube as well. So there you go.
888-318-7884 is the number. And I am going to go right to callers. But I do want to ask you this, Trent, because, John talking about his wife, Amy, and you're talking about Laura, and Stephanie was here with us just a minute ago. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of the media would like you to not know that these women exist.
More than half of women are pro-life. Yeah, it's the idea that, and that's why, I want there to be more female Catholic apologists in general.
We are working on that, Trent. We are working hard on that.
I'm excited to see them. They have YouTube channels. They're going out there, and we're supporting them. But we especially need female pro-life apologists. Like, having Lila Rose on Dr. Phil is just the perfect situation. Because people, and what's funny is even there, Cy, on that, did you watch that interaction?
No, I still didn't watch it in the 2 minutes since John asked me that.
Well, if you want... right. I couldn't remember. Did you say watch or you didn't watch it? I did a review of it on my podcast, if you want to listen to that. So I do a review if you want a little play by play. But it's funny. The women in the audience told Lila Rose she was a traitor.
She's not a traitor.
Traitor to women. All women, W-O-M-Y-N, have to be for ending the lives of their children in the womb if they feel like it.
That strikes me as so anti-woman, that you're not a real woman if you don't think like these...
Like we do.
Like the ladies at Dr. Phil think. Like, there's brilliant women in the pro-life side, as we just heard from Stephanie.
Stephanie, yeah. And so they want to pretend they don't exist because they just frame the narrative as this is about men telling women what to do. And you put women up there, and then you actually have to talk about what it is people are doing and whether it's right or wrong.
I would put Stephanie up against anyone on earth from
Same
the
approach.
You pick anybody.
Yeah.
Pick any single person on earth to debate Stephanie Gray Connors on the life issue. I'll put my money on Stephanie. Let's go to Joanne in Ohio, listening on 1260 AM. The Rock! We love 1260 AM. Let's go ahead with your question. Go ahead, Joanne, with your question for Trent.
So do we love this channel.
Oh, thank
but
you, Joanne.
The question is very quickly. We were there, and there was a young girl getting shoved into the abortion place. And we prayed the rosary there every Saturday, but she was very unwilling to do that. And they were actually shoving their hands on her body. And we did see her brought out after they were done murdering the baby.
Good Lord.
What we couldn't figure out was, like, what else should we have done? What else could we tell the people that are there these years?
Does anybody have film
that's
of that?
The only place we couldn't get it shut.
Did anybody maybe take their iPhone out and take some film of that? Because that's actually a violation of federal law. I mean, I know that will shock the people who did that, but you can't shove somebody into an abortion.
Well, that's what I thought from the criminologist training in the college, but I couldn't get. Well, you can't get.
You have no video.
Very seriously upset.
No, yeah. That's the thing. You're in a box when you're out there. And certainly law enforcement is very unlikely to show up and take your side, Joanne.
You absolutely true what you said. Oh my gosh, maybe things are different these days. I hope.
It depends. It depends where you are. Sometimes law enforcement are sympathetic. It depends who you get. So just on a practical level, if you see, that's why if you're at an abortion facility, you should go with another person. Don't go alone and make sure someone has the job. OK, you have your phone ready. You see anything that starts to seem suspicious, start filming, whether it's someone, if someone's yelling, if there's an altercation, start recording immediately and then call the police and don't worry if they can't actually do anything. You can't get in trouble for calling. You can just say, hey, I saw somebody like pushing a young woman into this building. Like, she doesn't want to be there. I'm worried like she's being held here against her will. I don't know. I'm just really worried. And they'll send somebody out. You can show them the video and they'll make a judgment call. But you have the right to, in when you call in good faith, to report something that you reasonably believe to be criminal or untoward or suspicious. So I think anybody in these situations, like if you are at a praying at an abortion facility and a clinic escort or a volunteer or someone walks up to you, turn on your phone, start recording immediately, because you heard that case recently, Cy, the pro-life volunteers like in Pennsylvania. He was alleged to have shoved a pro-choice volunteer because the volunteer was berating his 12-year-old son. We don't know exactly what happened. In fact, there is such low evidence, such minimal and really no evidence that he did anything wrong. The local police and local authorities did not charge him, but the Department of Justice sent a SWAT team to arrest him. And he could go to jail for 11 years because we have a radical pro-abortion president, a radical pro-abortion attorney general. And part of that is because of Catholics who voted for these people thinking, oh, maybe, you know, they're not as radically pro-abortion as we think. Sorry, you're wrong. It's not just, oh, can they reverse that? Here, I'm going to rant because I feel like it.
And now, here he goes.
Cut me off if you don't want to.
First, talk radio, said, Trent. Here it comes.
Yeah. First, they said, oh, don't worry about voting for pro-life politicians because they're never going to reverse Roe v. Wade. And there were Catholics, quote unquote, pro-life Catholics who are traitors, who are not really pro-life, who are saying, oh, don't, you know, you can vote for someone who says they're pro-choice because we're never going to reverse Roe v. Wade anyways. And then we did get Roe versus Wade overturned. And some of these so-called pro-life Catholics who are not pro-life said, well, maybe we shouldn't have overturned Roe. Maybe this wasn't a good idea. And now they still want these politicians because they care more about their policies than about these children, frankly. And that it's not just that they enforce the status quo. They go after pro-life advocates. So, look, we have to keep our wits about us. When you are praying, Jesus says in Matthew 10:16, be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So when you're at these facilities, be sure you can record and document everything and press charges whenever you can. Because sometimes, let's say a clinic escort will come out and push you, and a cop will come and say, well, you know, you want to press charges. And you might think, as you know, oh, I want to be a Christian, I don't want to cause trouble. No, they'll learn they can get away with it. So record everything, press charges whenever you can, because it's the only way to maintain a fair playing field to save these children's lives. And then I would say, for if you encounter a woman who's been in this situation, just show her mercy, compassion, empathy, and point her towards a group like Sisters for Life or Rachel's Vineyard, who have post-abortive healing to offer someone who's been through such an awful situation.
Joanne, thank you for occasioning that outburst from Trent Horn. Appreciate the call. And also, many blessings on you and everybody who prays outside of abortion clinics. They're treated as if they're monsters. But if you've ever been out there, you know, these are not the monsters. These people praying the rosary or doing what they can to bring grace where sin abounds. Joanne, if you'd like a copy of Why We're Pro-Life, or if you'd like several copies, maybe some copies to give out, just let Edgar know. We're trying to give away a million of them. So we're trying to give away more than a million of them. We give away 100 million of them. We can get funded to do that. But Joanne, thank you very much for that call. The number here is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Why We're Pro-Life this hour. Stephen in Nebraska listening on Spirit Catholic Radio is next. Stephen, you are very welcome here. Go ahead with your comment or question for Trent Horn.
Thank you. First of all, Catholic. My wife left me for another man and came back about a year later pregnant. I agreed to raise the baby. And when the baby was born, I told the nurses, don't hand the baby to me, I'm not ready. And then when I did hold the baby and look into his face, into his eyes, it was obvious to me that the pain that I was in and the difficulties I was having was not this baby's fault. And I became pro-life at that moment.
God bless you, Stephen. Thank you so much for
sharing that.
And I'll tell you what, I sometimes feel like stories like Stephen's are so suppressed. The people who have joyfully accepted a child that they weren't expecting, maybe that they had no part in creating, into this world, right. It's in the millions. And it has transformed so many lives and saved so many lives. People like Stephen stepping up. But tell me where you can hear those stories. They're not going to profile that Stephen as a hero on CNN. It's the doctor doing the abortions that's the hero on CNN.
Yeah.
Trent Horn is our guest. We got lots of folks on the line. Stephen, we'd love to send you a copy or copies of our new pro-life book, Why We're Pro-Life. But I'd also love to send you a copy of my book, A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him. Just to say I love you, brother. We'll be right back with more Why We're Pro-Life with Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live. The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whywearepro-life.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As Catholic apologetics have gotten stronger, Protestant responses have gotten stronger as well. And now they have their own answers to rebut the standard Catholic proofs. Don't fret, we've got you covered. In his new book, Meeting the Protestant Response, apologist Carlo Broussard gives well-reasoned biblical answers to Protestant comebacks. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Response today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Trent Horn is our guest this hour. And with the overturning of Roe versus Wade this past summer, it has become more and more urgent that we do the work of educating ourselves so that we are prepared to have conversations that are sure to come, but also educating others to help them make those arguments or to accept the truth of the argument that life is worth preserving, first of all, that life is valuable, infinitely valuable, each human life, and accepting the simple science that each human life begins at conception. We need to make those arguments, and we decided as an apostolate to get more involved in making those and helping make those arguments by producing this book, Why We Are Pro-Life, and giving it away free. We're going to try to give away a million of them. You can find out all about that project. You can support that project, or you can get some of the product of that project by going to whywearepro-life.com, whywearepro-life.com. We're going off to Switzerland now. John in Switzerland with a call for our guest, Trent Horn. John, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Trent.
Thank you very much. Hello. First of all, I wanted to thank you, all of the Catholic Cancer team, because you have no idea how helpful you are. I think, really, I bought the whole package of the School of Apologetics. I've been, preaching, last month, and I really wanted to thank you because you have no idea how impactful you are, and I really think you don't realize how helpful you are.
John,
so my question is...
I just wanted to say thank you. You're very kind. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize, John. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I can see how it transformed my life. long story short, I came back to Catholic Church a few years ago, and I never grew as much as I did lately with all of you content guys. I don't know how I didn't find you earlier, so you have no idea how it helps. I have a problem. I always have been against abortion, I mean, intuitively. And I always been good at debating people on any topic, really. And the problem, the only situation where I struggle about abortion debates is when I speak with a woman that had an abortion and really chose to have one and is convinced that it was okay. And I can rationally convince them that it's wrong. I can even make them understand why I think it's murder, even though I try to avoid that term when I speak to them. And I always feel that there is like an impossibility for them to admit that they committed murder, right? Because it would be so hard for them to go through this guilt and ask for forgiveness to God and things like that. And so they always hide behind some kind of excuses. And I always feel like I lack the last step to convince them that they have to repent and they can understand that. But it's very hard because I feel like I'm unable to speak to them like I should, right? Because it will be indirectly accusing them of being murderers. So how do you do when you speak with a woman that had an abortion?
Well, John, I commend you for your courage in having the conversations. That it sounds like you make a lot of headway, even with people who have been involved in a past abortion. So first, you have to accept, and all of us have to accept when we're in conversations with people, that we only have control over the things that we say. We don't have control over how another person responds. So we can't judge the success of a response we give merely to what it does to another person, because we could give a perfect answer and the other person is closed off to grace and to truth and doesn't want to hear it. And there, sometimes the only person who can open them up to the truth is Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so there, a lot of times we have to pray for the Holy Spirit to open that person's heart and to convict them. So a lot of times we have to pray for that person. We ourselves, the words we share, don't have the ability to bring someone to repentance. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So we can pray for them. But we can provide means for them to be more open to the idea of coming to terms with their past. I find what can be helpful is to empathize, to talk about how you could say, look, everyone, myself included, has done things we are ashamed of, things that we wish that we could hide from the rest of the world. Maybe we have done things we can hide from the rest of the world, but we can't hide that from God. And we can't hide it from ourselves. We still feel the pain weighing us down. And you could say to her, look, I don't want this pain to weigh you down or to keep you from joyfully having a relationship with God and making God the center of your life and having a joyful faith like I have. And pointing them towards that confession is a medicine. It's a way to lift this off of our souls so that we can be a whole person again. So I think that might be an approach that I would take, that kind of empathy and solidarity as just one sinner to another seeking grace there, but for the grace of God, go I, so to speak. And then praying for that person to really be open to what you've shared. So that's what I would recommend. John, I am actually curious, what part of Switzerland are you in?
Yeah, I'm just between Lausanne and Geneva, near the big lake, Geneva Lake. So
That is, John, like, 10 years ago, I stayed right on the shore of Lake Geneva, and every day, not every day, but a lot, I miss it. It's one of the most beautiful, to tell our listeners, one of the most beautiful places you can ever go. It's got a bunch of Protestant churches that aren't super.
Let's just go there and do the show live for John. I say let's go. Let's see if we can get Chris Check to pay for that.
It's a beautiful place.
We'll go to Geneva. So, all right, we're on our way, John.
Enjoy it for me, all right, John?
Thank you. I will be waiting for you guys.
I said it on the air. Now it has to happen, right? Like, I think that's how the apostolate works. If I say it on the air, it has to happen.
That sounds like a plot for some kind of a Eddie Murphy movie they didn't fully think out.
John, what a great privilege to get to talk with you. Thank you very much for the call and for the kind words. Anne in Colorado's next, watching on YouTube. And go ahead with your question for Trent.
Hi. I have run into two arguments that I would like help in articulating a response. I mean, I have sort of ideas, but I don't feel like I give a great response. And the first one is, oh, yeah, it's a human being, but it's not a person. And unless it's a person, it's okay to kill them. And the second one is, you're hypocrites if you aren't adopting. How many people have you adopted? Otherwise, you're a hypocrite.
Wow.
Okay.
Got
well,
Trent?
The first one, if they say a fetus is not a person, I would just ask them, well, what is a person? Please define what that is. If it's just something that can feel pain, well, then, you know, squirrels can feel pain, but they're not people. If it's something that can think like you or me, well, a newborn baby can't think like you or me. Get them to define what a person is. And don't let them try to get away with saying, well, it's any human or person that's born. It's any human being that's born. Well, that's like saying any human being that's white is a person. Why can't it just be any human being? So really make them define what a person is and show how it's kind of an arbitrary or incorrect definition that they're offering. Number two, for someone who says, you're a hypocrite because you haven't adopted children. I would lean into that and just say, let's just say you're right. Let's just say you're right that I'm a bad person, you know, because I haven't adopted any children. How does me being a bad person make it okay to kill a child through abortion? How does that make sense? And turn it around right back on them. You don't want to be defending yourself. This is an ad hominem argument. It's saying you're wrong because you're a bad person. But that's not true. Bad people can be right about things. Plus, of course, we're not bad people. That's like saying, oh, you want to outlaw slavery? How many slaves are you going to employ to work for you? I don't have to employ any. You still shouldn't be allowed to own another human being. So that's where we can show to say, look, let's say you're right. Let's say you were right. You can diffuse an ad hominem by just saying, yeah, I'm a bad person. So what? How does that make it okay to kill a child before he's born? And then just go into that. And then you could say, look, the fact of the matter is there are adoptive families. It is very, very difficult in this country to adopt a newborn infant. Someone was telling me that a pro-abortion state, there were only like 4 adoptions in the last year, that it's very difficult to find most children who are waiting for adoption. They're older children who are stuck in foster care because their parents' parental rights have not been terminated. So the fact of the matter is there are more people waiting to adopt newborns than there are newborns. That's not the issue. The issue is, should it be legal to end the life of an unborn human being? So that might be how I would go about it, Anne.
What do you think, Anne?
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. In my neighborhood, this is the things that always come up.
Yeah.
And my son always uses the one about the adoption that is very difficult to adopt, and there's more people who want to adopt than there are children to adopt.
Right.
Well, and
so, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. But if you'd like a copy, maybe leave it around. Put it on the coffee table. Maybe the son will read it, Why We're Pro-Life. We'd be happy to send you a free copy or copies. Just let Edgar know how many you'd like. We have to take a quick break. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking about why we're pro-life. If you're pro-life and you want to call and get some tips from Trent about how to defend human life in all of its stages, 888-318-7884. If you're a pro-choice person, or maybe even you'd prefer the word pro-abortion, I don't know what people want to be called, but whatever your label, if you disagree with us, you're welcome here as well. 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
We'll be right back. From Rome to your home, EWTN's Vatican Bureau lets you watch all of the important events from Rome, even if you don't have a TV. Using the latest technology, we've made it possible to watch the latest news from the Holy See, all delivered directly to your home. It's easy. Watch live on EWTN YouTube and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Coming back to Catholic Answers Live. That's for John in Switzerland. Because some people speak German, some people speak French in Switzerland. I think some people speak Italian in Switzerland. But I don't know as much about Trent as Trent does about Switzerland because I've never been to Switzerland. So I think the apostolate should send me to Switzerland.
Well,
but
I have an idea, Cy, actually, for a pilgrimage in the future that I would love to go on. So I call it Reformation to Rome. And so we would go to Geneva, Switzerland.
Yeah, for John
and
Calvin.
And learn about Calvinism and the Reformation and see a few Swiss sites there. We could even start in Zurich to talk about Ulrich Zwingli and others and then take the train across Switzerland, which is beautiful. Go to Geneva and then head down into Italy to go to Milan, Pisa, Assisi, Florence, and Rome. And so I would call it Reformation to Rome. What's funny is I love the churches in Rome. Not as big a fan of the surrounding countryside. It's fine. It's okay. Switzerland, the churches are okay. They're not very aesthetically pleasing, but the countryside is just amazing. Look, Google Lake Geneva. You have these snow-capped Alps, alpine peaks and the lake, and it's a beautiful place.
I'm all
so,
in.
Let's do it.
Send an email to radio@catholic.com if you want to go to on the Reformation to Rome.
Stop, Cy. People are going to think we're actually we have it.
I'm doing it. If people will sign up, I'm going. I will do it. I don't. I'm not even bringing you, Trent. John in Ohio, listening on 1260 AM. Is that The Rock again? The Rock is just killing it today. John, thanks for your call. Go ahead with your question for Trent.
Okay. Here's the question, followed by a quick statement. Why do the pro-life people, so many of them, often refer to the unborn person as it? It's a child, or it. Here's the statement. I have had success when I stay away from the word it. I will refer to the person as a boy or a girl or a baby or a person, but I consciously avoid the word it, and I have found that throws some of the pro-choice people off a little bit, and then they kind of don't know how to answer, because when you use the word it, that's not turning it into a human thing.
That's depersonalizing.
When you say boy or girl, son or daughter, that turns it into a very human thing.
All right, let me get a
that's
comment from
statement.
Trent, and then I thought that was the statement. I'm sorry, John. Go ahead with the statement.
Well, I just made the statement. The statement was why do so many people use the word it? And I've had success referring to the unborn person as a boy or a girl, son or a daughter, avoiding the word it simply because it does not exude humanness.
Trent.
Well, I think most people, including pro-life advocates, might end up using the pronoun it or the reference it, because they're talking about a particular child abstracted from whether the child is a boy or a girl. They're talking about, and they're speaking about an unborn child who is representative of all unborn children, boys and girls. But I agree with you that saying it is not ideal. And I'm sure if you go back to the shows, I'm sure I have said it before. I think when I speak about it, I often use phrases like this child, the child, this human being, this human. I often will talk about him, boy, girl, he. I sometimes will use, I think it's fine to use male pronouns because typically in English, we have used male pronouns to refer to all people in general. If you have one individual who exemplifies, you know, a whole group, as an individual. So I think that it's something we should strive to avoid, anything that is depersonalizing, even unintentionally. And I think you're correct about the word it there. Child, human being, he, her, boy, girl, I think those are your best bets.
Okay, John?
I like boy girl the best right now, since there's this move on to erase boys and girls.
Yes.
And make everybody.
Good for you, John.
Okay?
Yeah, you thought this through. I'm gonna share with you, John, what I do, and I learned this when I was working in print media. I don't ever say human embryo. I don't ever say human fetus. I always say a human in the embryonic stage or a human in the fetal stage, because the people think human embryo, it sounds like a human toenail or a human, you know, eyelash or something. And that's not what human embryo is. So I just want to throw that out to you, John, since you are careful with language. What do you think?
I think that is fine. I think that is fine. My favorite right now is boy-girl, because in another debate of, you know, they're trying to erase, you know, men and women and boys and girls. So I like using boy and girl. But that's all, you know, not only for the unborn child, but for the other purpose too. But yeah, all these are fine. I just, the word it rubs me the wrong way, and I don't think you're as successful when you say, well, you know, it's going to be born sometime, or it's just, it is not human.
Yeah, there you go. John, God bless you and your work. If you would like a copy or copies of our new book, Why We're Pro-Life, to help you in your work, you just hang on and Edgar will get it sent out to you. It's entirely up to you whether you'd like to take it, or maybe you want to just get a copy, see what you think, and maybe we can get a whole bunch of them to you for whatever ministry you'd like to share them with. Why We're Pro-Life. To those of you listening, if you would like copies, if maybe you'd like multiple copies for your school, for your church, for your apostolate, for your pro-life outreach, you can find out about how to do that at whyweareprolife.com. If you'd like to support us financially in this, any donations that are given to this effort go to this effort. They're not going to other things. They're even worthy things like paying Trent Horn's salary. That's not what they're going for. Why We Are Pro-Life is where you can get these books and where you can support us in getting them out. Whyweareprolife.com. Next up this hour, we go to Maddie in Pensacola, Florida, listening on 103.3 FM. Pensacola, I think an unscathed part of Florida, and we're glad to have you here. Maddie, go ahead with your question for Trent.
Thank you so much. I didn't much so have a question, more so I wanted to share a personal story.
Maddie,
as to why I'm pro-choice.
I would love it for you to do that. Could you be a little closer to the phone? It's just like, it's hard to hear you.
All right. Is that better?
I think that is better. Yes. Go ahead, Maddie.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that I am, or have unfortunately had to experience I don't like the word abortion, so I say a procedure to terminate a pregnancy. And that was when I was a lot younger, and I didn't have the education or the resources, or even the support that I thought I needed at the time. And as I've gotten older, that experience kind of left an imprint on me, on my soul, on my whole, like, existence. So for many people who find themselves in maybe situations that they don't feel that they have support, they may turn to make these choices or decisions that they may later regret in their life. So I really feel like, you know, personally, I would never make that choice again. I am pro-life now, so I just want anybody that is listening to know that you're not alone. If you find yourself in a circumstance that you think you can't handle, that there's always someone willing and wanting to help. So,
Maddie, I'd like to get Trent's response, but and maybe he wants to come back to you, but hang on. I'm very moved by what you said, but Trent, your response to Maddie?
Yeah, Maddie, I was just going to ask, have you had the opportunity to speak to like a Catholic counselor or to attend a retreat for others who have had experiences with abortion? Have you ever done anything like that?
No, I have done some doula work. That's probably as close to.
I couldn't hear you. You've done some what?
Doula work.
Doula work. Yes,
doula
I see.
Work. Yeah, like yes. Support with mothers who have experienced loss or who haven't felt like they needed support. So my path kind of led me to try to be more supportive to women who don't feel like they have that support and who kind of want to face that choice when they think that that is a choice, where I personally don't feel like it should be, because with the argument of where and when does life begin? Like life begins, you know, when, for me personally, I believe it's when the two combine, you know, when the seed and the egg combine and the beginning of life begins. So that's when the whole process begins. There's, I think there's even a video that shows that there's like a burst of electricity. I think that would be like when the spirit enters, you know. So there's a whole lot of things that aren't known, and people make decisions based off of lack of knowledge. And if we could just better inform people, then we could probably help many lives.
I agree. So, but I would recommend also for yourself that for anyone, whether for you or anyone listening, it's very helpful to find healing from this past trauma. Even if you think you don't need it, it's still there. So stay on the line. I'll have our call screener email you a link to a group called Rachel's Vineyard. For anyone listening, definitely check out their website. It's rachelsvineyard.org. And I'll have our call screener email that to you, rachelsvineyard.org. And you should be able to find, hopefully, a post-abortive retreat somewhere near you where you can experience a lot of healing, especially with others who have been in a similar situation. But thank you very much for calling and sharing your testimony with everyone. I think it'll be very helpful, Maddie, for many people who've heard this and are in the same position you are or are thinking of being in that position as well.
Maddie, thank you. You've done us a great service by coming on with us. Did you have any was there anything else you wanted to say? I don't want to rush you off, Maddie. Is there anything else you wanted to say before?
No, thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you. If you'd like, we're going to send you the link if you want to hang on and get that. But we'd also like to send you this new book we have, Why We're Pro-Life. We'd love to hear from you about it, if you think what you think about it. But I'd also like to send you a little book we have called The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It, just as a little gift, just to say thanks for this powerful call. I think it's incredibly brave of you to call and to share that. And I just want to thank you for picking up the phone and having the bravery to make that call. Because I do think I will say to you, I do think, again, women like Maddie, who are willing to say, you know, this hurt me, are kind of disappeared in our national media. They are not permitted to be part of the conversation.
No, because it makes it more complicated for people. And there's someone that someone who's hurting, pro-choice advocates want to say that they're for women in difficult situations. Well, being post-abortive is a difficult situation, yet they're not willing to be for those women and find them authentic help, because to find that healing, they would have to admit that what caused them this hurt is wrong and should not be legally tolerated anymore.
Thanks again, Maddie, for that. Trent, I want to thank you. At the end of our conversation with Stephanie last hour, I asked her how you think we're doing now that Roe versus Wade is overturned. Do you have any maybe a scorecard or maybe something you think needs improvement that you want to tell us about as far as the pro-life movement?
The only thing I think that needs improvement is that we cannot rest on our laurels. It's easy for the side that thinks they're winning to not try as hard. And we also should not be discouraged in the face of defeats, like what happened in Kansas, for example, with that amendment. We will always keep... This is not the end. It is the beginning of the end of abortion. And so we have to keep on.
Thank you all for joining us this hour. I want to tell you again, whywearepro-life.com. Go visit that website. You can get the free books for your group. Get them to hand out at your ministry, whywearepro-life.com. And if you'd like to support that effort, every dollar given there, every penny given there is going to go to this project. You can find Trent Horn at trenthornpodcast.com. That's where his very popular podcast, Council of Trent, is available. But if you want to be really entertained, don't go there. Go to Too Far with Laura Horn on YouTube. Too Far with Laura Horn. Trent, thanks. Great couple hours. Thanks for taking the
time.
Good
to be with you as well, Si.
We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.